from Golf Bravo 90.
I can talk to people all over the world.
CQ, CQ, CQ. This is M6.
As a radio amateur, I'm legally entitled to transmit to 400 watts.
I use my local repeater, which is GB3DA.
Hi, this is Pete, 2E0PSL, from the Essex Ham website. This short podcast discusses amateur radio operations and the International Space Station. Those not familiar with the amateur radio hobby may not be aware that it's possible, even with the entry-level foundation license, to pick up signals and communicate with astronauts orbiting the Earth on board the International Space Station. The ISS is equipped with an amateur radio shack, and the call sign is November Alpha 1 Sierra Sierra. John Bowen, the chairman of the Chelmsford Amateur Radio Society, explains why.
All of the International Space Station members are licensed radio amateurs, not so much because they want to talk to other licensed radio amateurs, but all their wives are as well. And so they're only allowed 1 hour to transmit officially every 3 days. But if they're licensed 16 times a day, they may actually go over their wife's house and they can have a chin wag as an extra bonus of keeping in contact with home.
Clever loophole.
So that's the background. But of course, in the rest of the time, then often when they're not on official duties, they're very happy to talk to other people.
Have you personally made any contact with anyone?
No, but we have got members in our society who have.
Making a contact with NA1SS is a tricky business. The space station travels at 17,000 miles an hour, around about 200 miles above us, and completes one orbit every 90 minutes. Voice contact with the station is quite hard to make, and these are often pre-arranged educational exchanges under the ARISS program. Some hams have been lucky though, and have been able to talk to astronauts during their downtime. Although I've not been able to talk to the ISS myself, in October 2011 I was lucky enough to catch a few words with one of the astronauts who served briefly aboard the ISS. Julie Payette from the Canadian Space Agency was on board the ISS in 2009 for 10 days. The mission was to install two components of the Japanese experiment module. Julie was the flight engineer on the mission, and she served on two shuttle missions, most recently on the Shuttle Endeavour STS-127.
A 127 and also an STS-96.
Wonderful. Now, I'm asking a very quick question about amateur radio. Now, I know there's a station up there. Have you had the privilege of operating or worked with any of your colleagues that have?
Unfortunately, no, because usually the station, ham radio, is operated by those astronauts that stay on station several months at a time. Me, I was part of shorter duration mission. We come, we work real hard, and we come back on the ground right away. We're on the shuttle, and we don't have time. But I do invite those that have amateur radio stations to contact the space station, because we have equipment and people that can operate it.
I've been trying, but no luck yet.
Well, try again.
Many thanks to Julie Payette from the CSA for letting me catch a few words with her. I certainly will be trying again. If you're interested in trying to listen to or work the ISS, the downlink frequency is 145.8 MHz. In Europe, the uplink frequency is 145.2 MHz. That's a 600 Hz shift, the same as is used for the UK 2-metre repeaters. From what I understand, 10 watts is enough to make contact, and a modest aerial should do the job. The trick is to use tracking software to work out when the ISS is visible, as you'll need line of sight. I've only just started my experiments of trying to listen into the ISS, so I'll be updating you on this podcast as I make some progress. In the meantime, for links on how to get the ISS, plus some advice, please go to www.essexham.co.uk/ISS. That's www.essexham.co.uk/ISS. This podcast was brought to you by FrequencyCast, the UK technology podcast. For free tech podcasts, which often include information for amateur radio operators, go to frequencycast.co.uk. Thanks for listening.